Baseball isn't happening right now, and that means our memories of baseball may be more important than ever. Our next guest has collected some of the great stories and characters in baseball history, many of which you may not have heard of before. I hadn't heard of many of them. Derek Barnes is an award-winning author of a number of children's books, including the Ruby and the Booker Boys series. His latest nonfiction book is called Who Got Game? Baseball Amazing But True Stories. Derek, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Good to be on.
Well, your book, I don't know if it came out at a bad time or a good time. There's no baseball, but maybe people need stories like this even more than they usually would. You're a big sports fan, your family too. How are you doing with the lack of sports right now?
Oh, man, you know, I'm just one of those guys. I just try to take it as it comes. You know, I had a big 20-city sports radio tour planned. I got canceled. I had a big 14-city tour planned by the publishing company. I have three sons that run track. I have one son is one of the best high school cornerbacks in the state, and all that stuff is canceled, man. So now it's just trying to keep everybody's head straight, make sure they stay trained up, and make sure they take care of their assignments every day. And you know, the country will be back in business. The world will be back in business. But until then, let's just keep moving forward. You know, let's just keep taking care of our business so we can be ready when everything does get back to going. So,
now, what made you want to share stories, you know, maybe off the beaten path, not the household names of baseball, but cool stories that we might not have heard of?
Well, I know I am a big information stats geek. I've always been that way. I've always liked to know more information than my buddy. So I've always thought it was cool to be able to, you know, provide facts and information that people couldn't readily find. And you can't just get on Wikipedia or Google and find out that Sadaro, who's a Japanese player, he actually owns the record for the most home runs in baseball history. But you know, because he didn't, you know, he never played in the United States, he never played in the MLB, he didn't go up against the level of competition that a Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth or you know, many of these players run against. And you know, the diameters of the baseball diamonds in Japan were a lot smaller when he was playing. So that's probably why he never got the credit, but he sent a lot of balls soaring out of stadiums, you know, in Asia. So, you know, just people like him.
Now, you introduce us to a lot of interesting characters, some from the earliest days of baseball. I want to meet actually the person you opened the book with, in effect, Rube Foster. Can you tell us about Rube and his career as a player, then a manager, and then a, you know, impresario of a league?
Yeah, Rube has been called the father of the Negro Leagues, which, you know, when we hear that term Negro Leagues, we think that it was just one league, kind of like like the MLB was. But over a course of 60 to 70 years, the Negro Leagues were a succession of different leagues all around the country. Before Reuben Foster had the idea of forming an actual league of teams that were owned by black men, a lot of black teams, a lot of teams that fielded, you know, Latino players, they were traveling baseball teams. But Rube Foster came up with the idea because he was an excellent pitcher on a lot of these traveling teams. He came up with the idea in 1920 in my hometown of Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a big Royals fan. At a local YMCA, and he called all these owners together from all these different teams from Philadelphia, Chicago, and they formed the very first Negro League in 1920. In 1921, the first games happened. And Rube Foster gets the credit for that, for being an excellent businessman, organizer, and just, you know, showing the entire country that black men were excellent athletes and could play this sport. And it's all because of him, I feel like, that, you know, the game is as diverse as it is now.
And I promised earlier in the show that we'd hear the story of the young woman who struck out two of the legends of the game, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Can you tell us about Jackie Mitchell?
Jackie Mitchell was actually a teenager when this happened. Now, this was an exhibition game. It was a local team. She played for the Tennessee Lookouts, and they went up against a whole team full of all-stars, and Babe Ruth was one of those all-stars. And the game was actually supposed to be played on April Fool's Day. So that's what leads a lot of baseball historians to believe that maybe this was a hoax, that maybe she wasn't that good of a pitcher. But when she went up against Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig back-to-back, she actually whiffed both of these guys. I mean, left them swinging, three and out, you know. And, you know, to this day, some baseball historians still vouch for her that this wasn't a hoax, that she was actually an excellent pitcher, because these guys had never seen anybody with this, you know, with this sort of technique and skill, because obviously women did not play baseball at that time. But this teenage girl, she had some smoke for these guys, man. And she threw that heat. So
we're talking to Derek Barnes. His new book is Who Got Game? Baseball, Amazing But True Stories. Well, now here's a story, a final score, 26-23. It's not an NFL game, though. It is actually a baseball game. Can you tell us? That is, I think, the highest scoring game ever that we know of.
Highest scoring game ever, man. 26-23. When I was looking for stats, I was trying to think of, you know, individual stats, but I was like, man, what is the highest and lowest scoring games that have ever been played? And man, I looked up the fastest pitches, people who hit grand slams in their first times at bat. But I said, man, what was the highest scoring game ever? And to my surprise, a lot of these records were set by, you know, AAA teams. But this record actually was set by the Phillies and the Chicago Cubs in 1922. And it was a very small crowd. It was only 7,000 people there. Obviously, there was not a lot of defense play. There was not a lot of defense play. So, the Phillies and the Phillies and the Cubs, we just don't see that kind of scoring anymore. But both of those teams at the time, they were very offensive minded. You know, this was after the dead ball era, when, you know, the league was very high on hitting. Home runs became very sexy. Hitting became sexy, and these guys set a record that hasn't been touched yet. So
I want to ask about a player, actually, who I think is important to you. You grew up near a stadium named after him, if I understand this correctly, the legendary Satchel yes. Paige. That's Satchel a little more Paige. Of a household name, but tell us his story.
Well, I had to include Satch because, you know, again, I'm from Kansas City. There's so many statues. There's the stadium is right around the corner from my house. There's even a school named after him. And he was just very flashy, very, you know, flamboyant. He could fill the stadiums because he was one of those guys that fans love to see. He made a point out of, you know, humiliating batters. if a guy couldn't hit or he wasn't a very strong power hitter, he would call the infielders in, because he knew he would strike the guy out, or maybe he would even get a full piece of his pitch. But you know, Satch was very long limb guy. He can pitch any kind of pitch, you know, that you can name: slow, curve. He can throw fastballs. He was just a very well versed pitcher, and many consider him the greatest pitcher of all times. He's from Mobile, Alabama, but we have accepted him as our own in Kansas City. And the guy didn't get to – he played for the Kansas City Monarchs. He didn't get a chance to play in the majors until he was 42 years old. And he played in 1948 with the Cleveland Indians and actually took them to the World Series. He was the first black player to pitch in a Major League Championship game.
Well, Derek, as we wrap up, I know you've written a lot of fiction books for kids in the past, but I remember, you know, I learned a lot of my letters and numbers on baseball cards. The first mm-hmm. biography I ever read was of Mark Fidrich, the Detroit Tigers, brief rookie sensation. Do you hope that maybe this kind of book can bring a lot of kids into reading and numbers and things like that who might not otherwise have picked up books?
Yeah, you know, it's something very fascinating about stats. This is the first book in a three-book sports series, but baseball, more than any other sport, is about numbers. It's about records. And my whole mentality is records are made to be broken. But it's so fascinating to, understand how these records are set, and how these records are broken, how long these records stand. And, you know, for kids that, you know, collect trading cards or are as fascinated as I was when I was a kid about stats and how long those records were held, this is the perfect book for not just baseball fans, but and not even for sports fans, because, there are a lot of fascinating individuals in this book. And I am very big on, you know, genealogy, understanding how people became great and where they came from. And so, I try to fill this book with as many fascinating stories as I possibly can. And maybe they won't be baseball fans. Hopefully they will. But even more so, we just, trying to develop competent and strong readers. So,
Derek, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
That's Derek Barnes, award-winning children's book author. He was with us to talk about his latest book. It's called Who Got Game? Baseball, Amazing But True Stories.